Pray with me.
Heavenly Father, thank you for your love. Pray that you calm my nerves, and just pray that all these folks here tonight would hear your story through what I'm sharing, and know that that none of this that I say tonight is anything I did in my own power. Lord, this is all in your son's name. Amen. All right. My name is Colton McKee. I have a new life in Christ, and I am recovering from pride, insecurities, and an addiction to pornography. Hey, everybody. So just to give you a little background, I was born and raised about 4 hours south of here in the Woodlands, Texas. There were just the four of us growing up, me, my mom, dad, and younger sister. We did not regularly attend church, and I had no idea what it meant to have a relationship with God or why Christ died on the cross. Instead, my Sundays were usually filled with sports, which is where my struggle with pride and insecurities began to firmly take root. As you can see, I am a rather large human being, and this physical attribute was put to good use on the field or court. I was really good at sports from a young age, and this quickly began to become an idol for me. I used sports very early on to define who I was, and this set the stage for my life all the way through college. My emotions even swung with my performance, experiencing unsustainable manic highs with wins and success, and depressing lows at the hand of failure and losses. It was this vicious cycle that drove me to do everything I could to experience as little of these depressing lows as possible, and would shut out anything and anyone that stood in the way in this pursuit of success. This would leave a path of destruction in its wake I can only describe to look like a hurricane making landfall. I often felt empty inside and unaccepted, and sports were just one of the many ways I attempted to supplement this feeling. Now is probably a good time to introduce my addiction to pornography into the equation before I get too far into his story. I don't recall exactly when it was, but I believe sometime around the third or fourth grade that I was first exposed to pornography by a neighborhood friend. We both had no idea what it really was, but his older brother had shown him a picture he found on the internet. I eventually tied these types of pictures and videos to masturbation, and the two grew into a full-on addiction. Porn is another crutch I would use to attempt to fill this void that was in my life, but it never really could. And I was only left with a hole that was deeper than the one to begin with. I would run to my computer when things weren't going my way with sports or I was feeling down. I would escape into this fantasy world for just a moment and exit feeling emptier. I couldn't escape the grips of porn on my own and tried multiple times. There were points where it would be once in a couple weeks I would run to it, and times where it would be daily for weeks on end. Fast forwarding some to college, and now I'm a full-grown man who doesn't know Christ and is miserably still trying to hold on to the faint glimpses of happiness that worldly pleasures try to advertise. The depressing drive from my fear of failure and God-gifted athletic talent landed me a scholarship to play football at Purdue University starting in 2007. A short while after I accepted this offer, I tore my ACL for the first time during high school, my senior year. I was able to recover quickly and ultimately ended up tearing it for the second time while playing my redshirt year at Purdue. I once again opted to go through the year-long recovery process after surgery, only to tear it for a third time towards the end of this rehab. I had it repaired one last time, tried to come back, but made the decision after that I had had enough a few months into this recovery process, and ended up taking what they call a medical release. After each of these surgeries, it felt like I spent more time trying to drown out the fact that it had actually happened than trying to get better. I used the extra time it afforded me to attend frat parties or join my friends out drinking at the bar instead of in the weight room. It was during this time that alcohol crept in as another vice I'd run to when trying to escape reality, along with porn and masturbation. I would drink specifically to get drunk, which I can now see to be alcoholism. At the time, I thought I was just having fun, but the dependency and desolation I experienced was not fun at all. One night, while my friends were out, I was left alone to drink heavily. My mind went to a really dark place, and I lost complete hope, since everything I had put my hope in was not everlasting. I took the pistol that I owned, loaded it, put a round in the chamber, held it to my head, and put tension on the trigger. I obviously didn't pull the trigger, but was extremely close to ending my life. In December of 2011, I moved to Dallas for a job and met my beautiful wife-to-be, Kelly, 3 months later. She knew Christ at this time, and I still did not. There was a lot about our dating relationship that was not his will for us, including impurity, but he has beautifully redeemed it all. Kelly has been God's tangible form of grace for me. I don't deserve the way she has forgiven me for how I treated her while dating and through engagement. I would belittle her and cuss at her after drinking and while even sober in our dating relationship in an attempt to make myself feel better due to these insecurities. She would try to point me towards Christ, but my ears were not ready to hear it. I eventually allowed her to drag me into Watermark, where I would literally sweat during worship because of how convicting the songs were. Shortly after coming to Watermark for the first time, I was invited by her cousin Blake to attend a men's Bible study, Summit. This was my first real experience witnessing men being vulnerable and admitting their need for a Savior. It was also foreign to me coming from an environment where nothing was talked about and issues were just ignored. I picked up enough lingo during this time and experienced enough behavior change that I was able to trick Kelly into thinking I had this whole church thing figured out, when in reality, I was still running to porn daily and abusing alcohol frequently. Kelly and I got engaged and moved in together while continuing to pridefully disregard biblical counsel from merge leaders and others around us. While we had taken the step to be pure during this time, we didn't flee the perception of impurity that living together gave off, or heed other warnings very evident in Scripture in regards to living together before marriage. A few months before our wedding, I went to Las Vegas for my bachelor party with some college friends. This was a horrible idea to begin with, and I knew it in the back of my mind. But without true community around me, I plowed through and went anyway. While in Vegas, I asked for several girls' numbers and ended up texting them later to come up to my room. None of them did, but regardless, I almost made a decision that ruined a marriage before it began. Quite frankly, I did make a decision that should have ruined a marriage before it began. However, Kelly, once again, was able to forgive me. This doesn't mean that the hurt was any less real for her. When I got home from the trip is when everything started to unravel. I thought I'd gotten away with it, but it was when my friends started texting me about the trip, Kelly got suspicious and found all the other messages to those girls. I was caught red-handed. As I mentioned before, we were now living together, so she asked me to leave the house and go stay in a hotel. I did as she wished, and it was during this time I found my way here. So when I first came to Region, I was extremely broken. I was on the verge of destroying my relationship with Kelly, fully addicted to pornography, extremely prideful, and full of insecurities. I know everybody says this, but it is so true. I was so worried about being seen at Region, only to take a step back and realize that you guys are here too. So I lost my spot trying to be funny. I sat on the way back the first night, scouting out the crowd to avoid anyone I might know. When the time came for newcomers to come down to the front, I was terrified and didn't know what to expect. We were taken to a circle for first-timers and asked to share why we were here. I bawled my eyes out and mumbled a few things, but was really comforted in hearing the other guys encouraging me for being there. As scary as it might have been, I left that night feeling a sense of hope I never felt before. In the midst of chaos, God was calling me to him, and I knew this is where I needed to be. It's unfortunate it took almost complete destruction for me to walk through these doors, but it's so amazing that he pursued me through it all and led me to this ministry. It's stories like this, stories of his grace and forgiveness, that eventually softened my heart and allowed me to finally admit my need for a Savior. I'd seen other guys doing this during the men's Bible study, but had no clue how to get there myself. Region provided the tools for healing, but in Christ is where that healing was truly found. The first step was probably the most difficult for me, admit. But just before coming to Region, I was expressing a desire to do what is right. I would just show up, do the work for the most part, and expect to be changed. I got frustrated in the beginning when it seemed that nothing was getting better during groundwork. It wasn't until a few steps in that I was able to let down the walls around my heart and come to fully understand that God sent his only son to die for our sins, to die for my sins. Everything that I just got finished telling you is nailed to that cross. There wasn't some glorious moment for me where the light bulb turned on and fireworks went off with confetti falling from the sky saying, "You've been saved," written on it. it was a pretty gradual process for me that I can look back upon now and say I was able to experience salvation in Christ early on in the region steps, probably around step 2 and 3. Inventory was a huge step for me, and I was able to take big ground on my sin struggles. For the first time in my life, it gave me the opportunity to do a deep dive into processing my hurts, habits, and hang-ups. I would always sweep things under the rug, which left a lot of unresolved issues to work through during step 4. I had well over 100 bullet points between all of the categories. I was able to engage my family with some great conversation during the amends process and ask for forgiveness for some of those items on my inventory. It was also during that time I slipped back into looking at porn and didn't come forward with it immediately. I sat on it and struggled with being able to confess, which I now knew is what I was called to do, but didn't really want to. I was eventually moved by the Spirit after an amazing testimony in here one night to bring my sin to light with a group. Those guys, along with my mentor and newly formed community group, loved me through the confession process with Kelly. It hit her hard because she thought I was doing so well. But again, she forgave me. This was an incredible experience for us because it was the first time I had ever confessed a sin instead of being caught. It was a major step forward in our marriage. Life now in Christ, still far from perfect. I still mess up and have to circle back around and ask for forgiveness. The difference now is that I don't sit on my sins for years and years, letting them eat away at me from the inside out. I'm able to see my faults more clearly now and put boundaries in place to help me from crawling back to old habits. It has been right around a year that he has given me freedom from my addiction, and I last had to confess to looking at porn. Some secondary motivations have still been necessary at times to keep me from that black hole, such as removing access around the house, TV, internet, and such, and accountability. However, I am now in a pretty good place where I'm able to focus on the cross as my primary motivation. It has also been right around a year and a half that I last tasted a drop of alcohol. He put it on my heart to see the destruction it caused in my life, even from what some would define as recreational drinking. Alcohol amplifies my sin struggles and is something that I needed to rid from my life. I've said it before on the stage and I'll say it now. I would rather never touch alcohol again than have one more angry outburst at Kelly or anyone as a result of being drunk. I'm so thankful that he's allowed me to truly hate this sin in my life and run from it. It doesn't make any sense to me now as to why I'd want to keep playing with fire when I've been burnt so many times before. As I mentioned, Kelly and I have been in a foundation group here through Watermark for a little over a year. This group has been instrumental in our marriage. Foundation group is essentially a group of newlyweds. We meet weekly, sometimes twice a week as girls and guys, and just do life together. We bring all of our junk to the group and let others speak into our lives. It hasn't been the easiest thing in the world because living in community is hard, but it has been incredibly rewarding. Iron sharpens iron, and it isn't a painless process, which results in sparks sometimes. There have been some sparks in our group, but that is just evidence to me that we are leaning in and challenging each other to run after Christ. There wouldn't be too many sparks if we just showed up and talked about the recent tabloid or who won the big game, although I do suppose that could lead to some healthy debate as well. Overall, community has been great for us and something we both need for the rest of our lives. Without it, I would just isolate and run to what my flesh wants with almost 100% certainty. Having these guys to hold me accountable to the man God is calling me to be, it's amazing. I'm also currently co-leading a group of guys through the region process as we head into step 12. Man, it's been such an encouragement just to see these guys and the way that they devote weekly to coming in here and just being authentic and laying down their struggles and encouraging each other. It's been incredible. My life can be summed up by one verse now, 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 18. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us a ministry of reconciliation. If you take one thing away from tonight, I want it to be that God has redeemed it all. As I told you throughout this testimony, I struggle with pride. Please do not see any of this as something I have done. Faith in Christ Jesus is where anything good you heard tonight came from. Thank you, Lord.